All right, welcome to a special edition of the show. Before we get to my guests, I want to thank everybody for coming out to Gotham Comedy Club. We had a great, great time here in New York City. Sold out shows and crowds were fantastic. Really appreciate the support. And if you want to come see me out on the road in March 23rd and 24th, I'm going to be at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. That's just outside of New York City. Bananas Comedy Club. It's a great club because it's named Bananas. So you know I'm going to be funny. And you go online, Bananas Comedy Club, for tickets, March 23rd and 24th. And March 28th to the 31st, I'm going to be in Bloomington, Minnesota at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. It's in the Mall of America, so come, you buy some pants, then you wear your nice pants to the show. It just all comes full circle. March 28th to the 31st, at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. Go online for tickets, Bloomington, Minnesota. And my guest this week, my dear friend, the legendary director and acting coach Bob Krakow, returns to the show. He's been on the show to talk about acting in general, and we did two Emmy Award specials with him, which were huge hits, where he talked about the history of the Emmys, and he made predictions. He got 15 out of 16 right in terms of who was going to win the major Emmy Award categories, and then we're going to do that for the Oscars for you. History of the Oscars and his predictions who's going to win. It's really, really cool because his predictions are based in fact and reality and his experience. So there are all these factors that go into these decisions about who wins that generally people aren't aware of. But Bob's gonna give us the lowdown on that. So enjoy, Bob. Hope to see you guys either in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, March 23rd and 24th at Bananas, or March 28th to the 31st in Bloomington, Minnesota at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of the show. Back with me is the great, legendary, and good friend of mine, Bob Krakow, director, acting coach, who is returning to the show. He's been on a few times. The last time he was on, we did two Emmy special shows, one sort of predicting the Emmys, and then another sort of doing a quick follow-up as to his predictions. And welcome to the show, Bob. Great to have you back on, buddy.
It's good to be here, Paulie.
You were 15 for 16, I think, right, on the Emmy Awards pick?
I believe that is correct.
Wow, unbelievable. So we wanted to do this for the Oscars because, A, it was very cool, and B, it really enlightens people into terms of what really goes into why people win or don't win, and in a broader sense, what the Academy Awards are all about and how they came about and what they really do mean. So why don't we start there and then we'll jump into some of your predictions for the Oscars.
All right. Now, I think we touched on this actually for a few minutes the last time when we were talking about this, about the history of these things.
A little bit, yeah.
So the Academy Awards, we won't get into the longer story. Came about because Louis B. Mayer was having a house constructed in Santa Monica, as you may recall.
Mm-hmm.
And his he realized that some of his guys were going to go out on strike, some of his technicians. And he wanted to head that off at the pass, mm-hmm. right? So he pulled together a group that he called the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. It actually might have been, at the beginning, the International Academy of Pictures, Motion Arts and Sciences. This was Louis B. Mayer, right? And mm-hmm. the original idea was he wanted to, in essence, create an elite organization of actors, directors, writers, producers, and technicians that would, in essence, mediate labor disputes in the hopes of keeping out unions. But, of course, that didn't come to pass because the unions came aboard within 18 months after that initial meeting. Mm-hmm. He then put together a group of, I think the number was 35 or 36 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were all elite people. It was like Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Mary Pickford. And, you know, it was people like that
mm-hmm.
that he brought together, right? As a way of, because he had the idea that if you gave out awards, it was a way of publishing or publicizing the motion picture business.
Right.
I mean, that was really
Right. And if I understand it correctly, the reason, the motivation for these 35 or 36 people to come on board with this is, it was sort of a, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You keep, if you have the elite of the elite of those categories on board, they in turn agree not to strike or join forces with people who want to strike or form unions. And in exchange, what those artists get is more work or better work or whatever. Is that fair to say?
That's absolutely fair, mm-hmm. right? And then the idea was to publicize the motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, the Hollywood foreign press gets a bad rep of being just, you know, a bunch of drunken louts in a room handing out awards to people like Pia Zadora. And the Academy sort of looks down their nose at the Hollywood Foreign Press and the Golden Globes.
Mm.
But hilariously, they were no better when they started.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to realize that the people, some of the people, right, that he pulled together, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Harold Lloyd, Mary Pickford, Cecil B. DeMille, Jack Warner, Henry Warner, Irving Thalberg, Joseph Shank, Jesse Lasky, Sid Grauman. These were all the big producers, of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they represented all of the studios. All the studios were represented in these group of 36 people.
Right.
And so the pictures that were nominated were, of course, from the five or six major studios. Mm. And that was it. That was the whole idea. And in fact, the first Academy Awards, all the winners knew way beforehand. They basically came, I think it was the Roosevelt Ballroom in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 5-minute award ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got drunk.
and they knew beforehand.
Of course they knew beforehand.
Right. Oh, that's so funny.
So people have to keep in mind when they're watching these things that they are designed exclusively to sell movies.
Right.
And if you're the member of a union, EGA, Writers Guild, SAG, you get screeners, right, every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it just a coincidence that it seems that all the nominees and winners come from those screeners? I wonder how that happened. It's rare that a screener that doesn't go out wins an award. It's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, initially, the big thing about the Academy Awards were, in essence, that to the public, they were a surprise.
Right.
Because they're really the only award, sort of the entertainment award given out.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a long time, the fun of the Academy Awards and the show was it really wasn't a surprise. Like, people really didn't know who would win.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened over the years, right, as this has changed, is you have the SAG Awards, the Independent Awards, the Golden Globe Awards, the Writers Guild Awards, the Directors Guild Awards, the Producer Guild Awards. And so the reason it becomes somewhat predictable is the very same people that vote for those awards, but some of them are part of the Academy. Now, let's define what the Academy is, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you and I discussed, the Emmys, right? The way to become a member of the Academy of Television, whatever that one's called, all you have to do for that is, you have to you have to have a certain kind of resume and you can join yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 22 to 25,000 members in the TV Academy.
Mm-hmm.
The Academy of Motion Pictures of Arts and Sciences, right, which on the Oscars, you have to be invited. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This has been, and this has been part of the issue over the last couple of years. Right, as Oscar's so white and all that.
Right, and diversity.
There's no diversity because it's by invitation only. So it makes sense if you're making less films with people of ethnicity, right?
Right.
And most characters and most writers and most directors are Caucasian, and it's by invitation only. Ergo, you now have a very exclusive club.
Yeah.
It is by invitation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get Oscars so white, because the group is being defined by itself. So one of the things they did after Oscars So White, which I think was a couple of years ago, is they demanded of their own members that they start to invite people in a diverse way. the idea being if you had more diverse members, you would come up with more diverse awards.
And what was the incentive for people to, it was just a request. I mean, there wasn't anything that they couldn't force these people to invite people of diversity or color, right? I mean, it was just sort of, could you please? And did people ignore it pretty much?
No, I think the pressure, if you will, as with the Me Too movement and Oscar So White movement, is it comes from public pressure. In other words, the Academy does not want to be seen lacking in diversity. Mm. And therefore, the members of the Academy don't want to be seen as lacking in diversity. So a lot of it has to do, you know, listen, I'm sure people are doing the right thing for the right reason some of the time. But the other reason is, you know, you're trying to put a public face on something and you're trying to make it look better.
Yep.
And by the way, as well it should.
I mean, right.
It's, you know, how it's like, was it 100 years overdue? I don't know. What you're talking.
I was just going to say, I mean, when you go back to its origination of 36 people, it's, you know, it's probably 95% men and 5% women and all white. And it probably hasn't changed a whole lot until the last 5 years or so, or 2 years or whatever. Right. It's incredible.
Right. Because people are inviting, in essence, their friends.
Right.
Right. All right. So now you have 6,000 voting members of the Academy, and the Academy considers itself an elite group, which is hilarious because, in truth, they're no different than the schmucks that do the Hollywood Foreign Press Golden Globe Awards, the same group. But here's what happens, right? And also, they've changed the voting over the couple of years. If you want me to go into that, I will. But what starts to happen is, let's take a movie from this year. Let me think of one. Right, Call Me By Your Name, right? Now, Call Me By Your Name is an independent movie. It's a very simple story about a young man and a slightly more mature man who fall in love in Italy. There's no violence. There's no penalty for being gay.
Right.
It's a really simple love story.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to win some Critics Circles awards, both for the movie itself, well-known director movie itself, and for a couple of the actors, and specifically the young man who played the lead. Now, once they win a Critics Circle award, you can imagine, can't you, that the studio behind it sees that as a tool to publicize it. And so now they start to push really hard. And now they start to try to open the movie more. They try to get more critics to come see it. And as it turns out, more critics love it. And now the two actors are suddenly everywhere. They're ubiquitous. The young man's on Jimmy Fallon twice. He's on Kimmel. He's on Ellen. They're both on Ellen. They're all over the place. Here's the thing. The movie is sold somewhere between $28 and $30 million worth of tickets since opened, I think, in November, which means that roughly 2 million people worldwide have seen it, right? And by comparison, Dunkirk, right, has been seen by five times as many people. So in essence, nobody's really seeing this movie.
Right.
And yet, it's being publicized constantly. Well, why would they do that? Because it's a very simple story, right? And it's, I wouldn't say it's a gay love story. I would say it's a very simple story where two men fall in love. Right? Well, nobody's going to see it. So if they want people to go see it, and they suddenly have critics who like it, they're pushing really hard to win awards because if they can, as you and I discussed on the last broadcast, it means a lot more money. In other words, people who aren't seeing it now, if it wins Best Actor or Best Picture or Best Original Screenplay, and you can say the Oscar-winning Call Me By Your Name, it might make the amount of money it has made since November, it might make that in a month.
Right, and it's interesting and sad in a way because the studio can't sort of on its own, without outside impetus, decide to push this movie. You know, I liken it to, and if I'm wrong, tell me, you know, I'm an actor and I've got a I don't know, an agent or a manager, and I don't have a lot going on. And then I got a friend who puts me in a film and the film gets hot. And then suddenly that my agent's working hard for me and is my best friend. They needed these critics to light a fire under their ass when they should have done this themselves if they really believed in the film.
Well, here's the only thing I'll parse with you. I don't know that, again, you have to remember that, you know, for better or worse, the people that run movie studios, they have a job to do. And the job is simply to make money for their product. I mean, when you really get down to it, that's what they're there to do.
Right.
And you know, they do a lot of test marketing. You know, for example, I worked on a movie, Hardball, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember being, I had to go on the press tour. And I remember sitting with the director, Brian Robbins, who the movie hadn't opened yet. And he turned to me and he said, you know, I said, do you think the movie will do well? He said, yeah, it's going to open to X amount of dollars. And I was like, how do you know that? Well, because they know they spend X amount of dollars on publicity with a star, in that case, Keanu Reeves in the movie, that unless the movie's a total dud, it'll open to X. They kind of know that. The same way, more, and now it's even more so because Hulu and Amazon and Netflix, they have an algorithm, right? They know, they have a pretty good idea of who's going to watch what they're making.
Right.
So when it comes to a movie like Call Me By Your Name, they sort of have an audience in mind. I mean, they know that probably if the movie is good, that they'll get LBG. I always get all the letters wrong.
LBGT, yeah.
GTQ.
Yeah.
They'll get that audience, but they're going to wait before they spend money to see if anybody else is going. Mm. Right? Because why throw money at something if you think you can't produce the result?
Mm.
And yet, as soon as they get a good review, it gives them encouragement. Now, in that particular movie's case, they got a ton of good reviews and a ton of good press. And the young man was winning Critics Circle Award after Critics Circle Award. So they went crazy.
Right.
Nonetheless, since it opened, only 2 million people have seen it. And I'm not even sure 2 million, because some of the buzz about that movie is people have gone and seen it 2 and 3 times. Well, who's going to see it? LGBTQ. The young man has become sort of a darling for teenage girls. You know, that's been their audience, and that's great. And by the way, it's a terrific movie. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful, but they can't really sell it. So now you hope it wins a Golden Globe and you hope it wins an Oscar, and you might make as much money in a month as you've made since November if you can win an Academy Award. And that's what happens. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get into, you got 6,000 people voting, right? In 24 categories. And unlike the Television Academy, the members of the Academy of Exhibition Arts and Sciences, they can only be a member of one branch, right? Like in TV, Tina Fey can be a member if she lobbies. She can be a member of writers and actors. But in the Academy of Arts and Sciences, of Picture Arts and Sciences, you can only be a member of one. So you're either, you know, so if you're Robert Redford, you're either a member of the acting branch or the directing branch, but you can't be a member of both. Okay? That make sense?
Oh, yeah, it totally makes sense. Yep, sorry. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now you have 6,000 people. Now here's what happens, okay? Each branch votes for its own, for nominating. So actors vote for actors, directors vote for directors, cinematographers vote for cinematographers, and so on. And each person, right, gets to vote for their 5 favorite movies. In other words, you get to vote for the same number of movies as there are nominating slots in a category.
Mm-hmm.
Best picture, there are 10. Actors, there are 5, et cetera. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the actors vote on the actors to nominate. Okay? Now, if you want, I'll explain how the voting goes, but you won't understand it, and neither will the audience, but I'll be happy to go through it really fast.
Yeah, let's do it really fast, because I want to get to the categories before we lose you, and I want to get your thoughts on who's going to, because I love your predictions and your analysis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so once everybody votes for their 5 favorite, right, they determine what's called the magic number, right? And the magic number is calculated by taking the total number of ballots received for a category, dividing them by the number of possible nominees plus one, then rounding it up to nearest whole number.
Mm-hmm.
For example, right? If you have 602 ballots received for Best Actress, and there are five nominees in the category, then the accountants will divide 602 by six, that's five nominees plus one, which equals 100.33. Therefore, the magic number is now 101. And in this example, when a candidate for Best Actress nominee gets 101 votes, she becomes an official nominee.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, you keep going through the process until you come up with five nominees. So after the first round, if there are no votes for number one, they get dropped off, they get put in other piles. I mean, it's really complicated.
Yeah.
So now you get down to your five nominees, and then the entire Academy can vote on it, and that's when it gets interesting. So here's what happens, and here's why you can sort of predict what's going to happen, right? You had the Golden Globes, the SAG Awards, the Writers Guild Awards, DGA Awards, and the Producer Awards. Well, all the Academy members, not all of the members of those guilds are members of the Academy, but all members of the Academy are members of those guilds.
Mm.
You understand?
Yep.
So if you've been watching the SAG and Golden Globe Awards and Gary Oldman won Best Actor, it's almost impossible he won't win Best Actor at the Oscars.
Why?
And if you're watching the SAG and Golden Globe Awards and Frances McDormand has won Best Actress,
mm-hmm.
it's almost impossible that she won't win Best Actress. And if Sam Rockwell wins Golden Globe and SAG Awards, it's almost impossible that Sam Rockwell won't win Best Supporting Actor. Now, Allison Janney, and this is where I think...
And hang on. If I understand correctly, the reason for those, that what you just said, is the chances that all these people have seen all these movies are slim to none, so they take their cue from the wins that they've had in other award shows or critics' opinions of movies leading up to this, correct?
Correct. Because what are the chances that all 6,000 members watched all the movies made last year?
Right. Right.
Right. I don't think the chances are even good that all 6,000 members have watched all the screeners that were sent out.
Right. Yeah.
Right. If you figure there's, I don't know, somewhere between 25 and 50 screeners. So like with the Emmys, right. And by the way, and this is really important, in the Academy bylaws for voting on these things, members are encouraged to, and I quote, vote with their heart.
What does that mean?
Unquote. Well, what does that mean? Right?
Yeah.
And so have some of these awards unfolded? Does the Me Too movement
right
affect the way people vote? You'd have to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, Al Pacino won an Oscar for Scent of a Woman, right? Hoo-ha. Did he win that because he didn't win for Godfather, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon? I mean, you see my point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sense of Boom is hardly his best performance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So the only place I see a possible upset is Allison Janney, who's lovely, has been campaigning really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And because Academy members see themselves as an elite group, it's possible that some Academy members who've watched her do work really hard and go to interviews with a parrot and do all that stuff, because they consider themselves an elite group, they might vote for Laurie Metcalf and Lady Bird because she's considered an actor's actor. She might sneak in if Miss Janney, through the amount of publicity that she's done, perhaps upset part of the elite group.
Okay, and just so people know, we're talking about supporting actress, and Allison Janney is for I, Tonya, and Laurie Metcalf is for Lady Bird. In fact, there's something on the web today, an article I was reading where Laurie Metcalf is like saying, I think she was genuine, like, I never thought I was going to be the kind of actor to get nominated. So it sort of feeds into a little bit of what you're saying, absolutely.
Right. And it is very genuine on her part. And she doesn't campaign for these things. And sometimes not campaigning can work against you, but sometimes campaigning too much.
Yeah.
Again, when you consider yourself part of an elite group.
Mm.
So I think if there's going to be a surprise, it's going to be there.
Okay. What about for lead actor? You think it's going to be Call Me By Your Name because of all the...
No. It's going to be Gary Oldman, because Gary Oldman has already won the Golden Globe and the SAG Award.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And Gary Oldman is an actor's actor, and he's been around forever, and he's been great in other things, and he's never been recognized for anything.
By the way, though, it surprised me that he got not nominated, but he's in the running, even because John Lithgow did a really great performance of the Churchill, was it just last year? And I thought, well, it's sort of a redundant role, but what do I know? I was a little surprised. As good as he is, I just thought, well, he's taking on the same role. Does that hurt him? But obviously not, you know?
No, and I don't know if you've seen the movie, but it is so stinky good, it's almost hard to describe. I mean, he's just incredible.
Yeah.
And remember, mm-hmm. the Academy is only 6,000 elite members by invitation, not 25,000 anybody who wants to join and has the credits can.
Right, right. Lead actress, who do you think?
Frances McDormand, for the same reason, right? She won the Golden Globe, she won the SAG Award. Also, that movie, right, Three Billboards,
mm-hmm.
There's some controversy about what that movie is and what it says, and the director, Martin McDonagh, was not nominated for Best Director, which was considered a little unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, under the Follow Your Heart rule, when people see that he's not nominated, they're going to want to give that movie some love.
Somewhere else. Yes. I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Supporting actor. Who do you like there?
Well, personally, I thought that Woody Harrelson was unbelievable. Yeah. However, Sam Rockwell, who's again, a wonderful actor and does a terrific job in the movie. He's already won the Golden Globe and he's already won the SAG Award. And so, you know that those members are going to vote for him. And again, he has not campaigned. Frances McDormand hasn't really campaigned. I mean, they've gone to the events they've had to go to.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell was just on our show, on The Late Show with Colbert. But other than that, I haven't really seen him out there that much at all. You're right.
Right, and he lives in New York, so it's probably, I mean, him going on Colbert is him, you know, getting on the subway.
Right.
Like he's
right. Exactly.
Flying around.
Yeah. Maybe they got him a car since he's nominated and didn't have to take the subway.
Yeah, he might have got a
car. So supporting actress.
Go ahead. Pretty regular guy. He might have taken
it. Maybe or the bus even. So supporting actress, you're leaning toward Laurie Metcalf as an upset over Allison Janney.
No, I think Allison Janney will probably win.
Okay.
If Laurie Metcalf won, I wouldn't be
surprised. Okay, but you'll pick her because of the campaigning.
Correct.
And supporting actor, who do you like there?
That's Sam Rockwell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. What about Best Picture?
I don't know how to explain the voting thing on this. Best Picture voting is different. And the way the Best Picture voting works, I don't know how to explain this, but here's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of three movies: Shape of Water, Three Billboards, although I doubt it, and maybe Get Out, which was a phenomenal movie, and is an incredible. It's a horror movie as a metaphor, and is an incredible story about racism and how it works. And because, for example, let's say in the Best Picture category, because you can vote for 10, let's say it wasn't everybody's favorite movie, but everybody voted it somewhere between 3, 4, 5, and 6. Well, as you start to drop movies and move forward, report for that movie, you see the best picture thing, there's a statistical anomaly that makes it the hardest one to predict.
It's almost like when writers vote for Hall of Fame or, you know, Hall of Fame ballots in a way, you know, kind of.
So it's exactly like that.
So, and you say Three Billboards, you're on the fence about that. Why is that one, as opposed to Shape of Water or Get Out, less likely to win, in your opinion?
Well, I think Shape of Water is going to win.
Okay.
First of all, again, I don't know if you've seen the film. It is an incredibly unique and unusual and moving film.
Mm-hmm.
Sally Hawkins plays a woman who can't speak, and why she didn't get more love during the, see what I mean?
Yeah.
She didn't get really any love. What she's doing is astounding. She's carrying a movie for over 2 hours without saying a word.
Real quick. Why do you think she didn't get the love? Because the campaigning wasn't there for her?
I think that the movie isn't flashy. The part isn't flashy. The campaigning wasn't there.
Got it. So because of the uniqueness I did see it, and it's very hard to even explain to somebody. It's a really incredibly unique movie. That sort of really tips the scales for you then, huh?
Yes. And also it's just unbelievably well done.
Mm.
I mean, it's just the story, the directing, the writing, the acting, the music, the cinematography.
You know, I could see Get Out only in the environment that exists now, you know, given how racially charged everything is. I could see Get Out, you know, sort of, you know, getting in there for that reason. Among others, obviously, it's a really good movie, too.
It's a terrific movie.
Yeah.
But yes, as we discussed with the Emmys, these are not meritocracy awards.
Mm-hmm.
These are awards promoted by the studios to sell their own products, voted on by an elite group who can only join if invited and are told to vote with their hearts.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen?
Right, exactly. let's hit the director real quick. What's your choice there?
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It sounds just unlike anything I've ever seen. I don't know about you, but it's, and he's a much beloved director. He's done other projects.
Yeah. Can you explain to me how a film becomes a best film winner, but the director doesn't get, generally it should go hand in hand, but there are a fair number of times it doesn't, right? Why does that happen?
Because the directors nominate themselves. So you have five directors, right?
Right.
In the days when there were only five picture nominees and five directing nominees, it happened more frequently.
That they went hand in hand. That if the picture won, the director won. Okay.
Yeah, like A Beautiful Mind won for Best Picture. Ron Howard won for Best Director. I mean, it happened more frequently.
Mm.
But when you opened it up to 10 nominees, statistically, it becomes a much different event. And so you, by definition, have at least five movies, and in this case, six, in which no best director is attached.
Mm-hmm.
So, the chances in this case are actually quite high that they'll be different. I actually don't think they will be this year, but statistically, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it works out.
Yeah.
And they want it that way, because you have to remember, it's better for the business if more movies win awards.
Overall, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're fighting, fighting the streaming services are taking more and more of the market share. People are staying home and curling up on the couch watching Netflix and Amazon, you know?
Correct.
Finishing up, adapted screenplay and original screenplay. Real quick, who do you like there?
The adapted screenplay, because I don't think Call Me By Your Name is going to win other awards. Mm. And because James Ivory, I think, is 174 years old. I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah.
Right. If A Lot of Love went his way and he went for best adapted screenplay.
All right. And original screenplay.
You know what? I don't even have
the big sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, Three Billboards. Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, Three Billboards.
I would go with Get Out.
Because of its sort of relevance right now and the uniqueness of...
It's really ingenious.
Yeah.
And again, I think because people follow their heart. When you're looking at the nominees... Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, shoot, man, I don't want Get Out to not win.
Mm.
And again, I'm not saying, listen, any movie that gets nominated deserves to win. And anybody who tells you otherwise is out of their mind.
Yeah.
Because it's rare that really bad movies or really bad performances get rewarded. You may not agree with them.
Mm.
Right. But, you know,
right.
I mean, I think How Green Was My Valley beat Citizen Kane. That seems silly.
Yeah.
But you can't say
it's a bad movie.
But you can't say it's a bad movie.
Right.
And unfortunately, Citizen Kane was ahead of its time.
Right. Right.
And I'm sure the older members of the Academy looked at it and were like, what the hell is this? So
yeah, exactly. They're used to musicals and The Hills Are Alive or whatever, and they got this like what I can't put my head around this. But that you look, I don't think it not winning an Oscar necessarily hurt it in the annals of movie history. It's on the top of everybody's list forever.
The year that Rocky won, it beat All the President's Men Network. I mean, Shall I Go On?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one
surprised
me because there was that with those movies spoke to some much bigger issues in society at the time. And I thought one of those would win. And yet maybe people were just sick of that and just wanted Rocky took them away somewhere. You know, you don't know. You just don't know. It's obviously the point.
You don't know. Yeah. But it's not, I don't think it's wrong to say exactly what you just said, which is right. Think of the times at that moment. And it was a feel good movie.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's done well.
No, and again, beautifully done. You may not like that kind of movie, but if you do, it's beautifully done.
And by the way, this is why, and I'm not, you know, this is why I love you and I love having you on, because you're not a snob about this stuff, you know, and there are a lot of people in your position that can be snobs. And you, that's a pure artist to me because you appreciate the artistry in a lot of different mediums and products that are made without sort of passing judgment on them. I mean, obviously you have a line of quality that you won't go below, but that, you know, just what you're saying right now gives you, in my opinion, a lot of credibility because you are not putting any personal agenda forward. You're just a pure artist who loves the art form, you know?
And you're trying to look at things not for what you want them to be, but for what they're trying to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like soap opera actors, you know, people make fun of them. You know, you try shooting 55 pages a day.
Dude, I had a guest starring role one day and I was like, and I'm pretty quick on my feet, but man, I was like, I was just trying to look like I knew what I was doing. It's a couple of times, like, you know, without getting in the way. Who said don't bump into the furniture and hit your mark? I don't know if it was Spencer Tracy or whatever, but you're right. You know,
Jimmy Cagney.
Yeah, they don't get it. They don't get the credit they deserve. All right, listen, I know you got to jump. This is, as always, great, amazing. I'm so excited. I have a new excitement to watch these shows now because of you, because I sit there with my paper and see. Oh, you know, you got to text me the last time you were texting me as they were going along and it was like 3 for 4, 4 for 5. Not that you were bragging or anything, but it was so
fun.
You were
at the show. I was texting you because you were actually.
Oh, right. I was at the Emmys. Right. I forgot. All right. Listen, thank you so much for doing this. We'll do a follow up just to talk about how it came out. But this was great. I'm sure everybody listening got a great education and some knowledge about all this and some fun out of it, too. Thanks for doing this, Bob. I love you. Talk to you soon. And thanks for being on the show again.
I love you, Polly.
All right, there you go. You got your predictions. Okay? Now, write them down. I hope you wrote them down. If not, go back, listen to it again. And I swear to God, he's going to get like 95% of them right. The guy's a genius when it comes to this stuff. Thanks for checking out the show. Again, hope to see you in March. March 23rd, 24th, Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. March 28th to the 31st at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Bloomington, Minnesota. Go online for tickets. And we will see you on our next regular posting of our podcast. Thanks for checking things out here. Hope you enjoyed our Oscar special.